sermon series. We're starting a series this morning. Going to be in here for a few weeks at least, maybe a month or so. So the Lord also on Wednesday during the day and then at prayer, the Lord spoke to me. Guys, it's one of the clearest things I've heard in a long time, and he said this to me. Prepare for the storm. Prepare for the storm. And we don't got to look real far to see what's going on in our country right now. And what I've really, honestly, guys, feel what the Lord is telling me is we've seen nothing yet. I was with some family a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about the upcoming election. And they said, oh, you know, hey, this, you know, this particular candidate is going to win by a landslide. And they said it with this, like, finality about it. Like, the election's going to, this, I'm not going to say who, this one candidate's going to win. And there was like this, yeah, and it's going to be great then. And honestly, like, I felt the Spirit of God in me saying, you better buckle up. Doesn't matter which one of them win. Right? Whichever one wins, the other side is going to lose their mind. Even more than one of whichever side is losing their mind right now. Can I get amen? Wow. And you know, here's what's interesting, y'all. Like, not an ounce of fear in me about it. Not a speck of it. Look in the Bible. These things must happen before the end comes. Chaos. Right in the Bible. Jesus himself said it, right? So, what I want to do, I'm trying not to walk around too much. We've got better cameras back there, so I've been scolded the last couple of Sundays. He's like, it's like a toddler. I'm chasing you around with a camera. I'm going to try to stay, just duct tape my shoes to the floor or something. You know what I mean? But guys, what we've got to do, and I appreciate Charlie's word this morning because it kind of fits in a little bit. I really feel like Doreen, she's not here this morning, but Doreen's sent me some stuff. Oh, is y'all signed? Good to have you, D. Thank you, girl. Doreen sent some stuff in, but really what I think needs to happen, and I believe that what needs to happen is that the church, right? Personally, we need to rise up. Our families, the church needs to rise up. Like, when stuff comes at us, when all the dust settles, we're still standing. Right? So, like, the second to last new Star Wars, not like the last one that just came out, but the one before that, if you guys are big Star Wars fans, man, I'm finding more and more of you don't like Star Wars. I think y'all need to find another church to go to. Man alive. Come on. Star Wars is like a straight rip off of the Bible. May the force be with you. Come on. Man, use the force, Luke. Anyway, there's a scene towards the end of it where Luke Skywalker comes in and they got all the bad guys have all their walkers and all the spaceships, whatever, and he walks out of this tunnel by himself, and the bad guy's like, you know, light him up, and they all shoot their guns at him, and it blows up, and all the dust settles, and he's standing there, and he just looks up, and he goes, and the bad guy freaks out. He completely freaks out, right? And I want to tell you what happens after that. If you haven't seen it, watch the movie. Oh, man. How can I make movie references if you guys don't watch movies, man? Come on. But I just, honestly, guys, like, I saw this. Like, that's what we just got to be like. All, you know, all this stuff comes and all the dust settles and we just go, that's all you got? That's all you got? Amen. So I want to take a few weeks here to talk to you from the Word of God about how can we get to this place, right? I'm talking in here. How we get there inside? How do we get there in here, right? Because the devil's never going to stop. The devil will stop when he gets cast into the pit. That's when he's going to stop. And until that day, he's not going to stop. I was reading this deal the other day, and this guy says, look, the devil doesn't play fair. We got to stop getting upset about it. You cheated. He's like, well, duh. It's all I do. Come on, man. Why does the devil keep doing this? Because there's something valuable in you that he's trying to prevent you from letting go. Can I get amen, right? One preacher says like this, if you walk by somebody's house and it's all broke down, you're not going to think, man, there's something valuable inside there I want to steal. You're going to walk by a nice house and think, I bet there's something in there that's worth the penalty of me trying to get it. Why is the devil attacking you? Because there's something he's scared of you catching and releasing. If you weren't valuable to the kingdom, he wouldn't mess with you. Can I get amen? So think about this. I'm going to paint a little picture here that we'll get into scriptures. If you live down south where hurricanes hit, right, there's typically days or even weeks in which people who own property can prepare for the storm that's headed, right? I mean, you watch it. It's tracks out in the ocean, and it's tracking, and there's, you know, that's all they talk about for weeks is it's going to hit here or it's going to hit there or it's going to hit over here and all this stuff. And you watch everybody, they pile up sandbags and they board up their house and all this stuff, right? You can, all this prep work that can go into it. You understand what I'm saying, right? And like, the, I feel like, you know, like a hurricane develops slowly and moves slowly, different than like a tornado. If you live out west, they're going to say, look, there's tornadoes in the forecast and just get ready because all like the horn goes off and you got like a minute and that thing's on you, right? And tornadoes, if you think about it, like even the crazy ones, tornadoes last like just like 4 minutes. And they just rip through a town in 4 minutes. And then, I mean, massive destruction. But I don't feel like the Lord's telling me that we've got a quick storm coming. I feel like he's saying there's a hurricane coming. It's a slow moving. It's going to get out and pick up some moisture off the ocean. You know what I'm saying, right? And it's like we got to see it coming and get ready for it. Amen. I really feel, guys, in large part that the American church, we fail to tell people the real truth about life. Saying yes to Jesus doesn't make your life easier. Makes it worth it. Saying yes to Jesus might even make your life harder. Right? As I said a moment ago, right? If you're in the pack, the devil can't pick you out. But when you step out, got a target on your back now. Can I get amen? But another movie reference, Forrest Gump. Don't watch it. You guys ever watch movies that you used to watch way back and then you watch it again and you're like, man, I don't remember that being in there. Missy was watching a movie with Olivia the other day and she's like, oh, we were watching this movie. And she goes, I don't remember all this colorful language in this movie. I said, it's because we watch it on cable and they beep all that stuff out. You know what I mean? But anyway, Forrest Gump, if you guys ever seen Forrest Gump, when Lieutenant Dan goes down and they're in the shrimp boat, this is my boat, and they go out and they're in the hurricane and he's up in the crow's nest and he's screaming at the hurricane, is this how you come? You know, he's all mad. But because they're out in the storm, when they come back in, everybody's boats are all destroyed because they were where it was safe. So that's how Forrest Gump made all his money, all, you know, pineapple shrimp, bubblegum shrimp, barbecue shrimp. Right? Teachers, we can play it safe or we can get out in the storm. Right? Tony Evans, y'all know Tony Evans, he says it like this. He was telling a story one time. I was at a conference with him and he's telling a story about going on a cruise with his wife in Alaska and this huge storm comes and the ship they knew was coming. This they could see it on the radar. And they started hitting these swells, and he says there were 20-foot swells, this cruise ship, up these swells, huge swells, right? And he says their dishes are, you hear, like the ship is pitching back and forth. It's huge. I don't go on cruise ships, y'all. Planes are dangerous enough for me. Like, at least I can jump out of a plane and get a parachute or something. You know what I mean? You're on the ocean, you're done. But, right, so this is his thing is pitching. And finally his wife says, she says, Tony, you need to call that captain and find out what's going on. You know, like a good husband, he's like, yes, dear. So he calls the, you know, obviously he's thinking the captain's probably kind of busy right now, you know, so the ship doesn't sink. But he gets the first mate, and the first mate, this is what the first mate says to Dr. Tony Evans. He says, sir, let me explain something to you. When they built this ship in the port on the dry dock, they built this ship with this storm in mind. He says, I know it's scary. It seems dangerous. It feels like we're going to lose everything, but he says, they built this ship to handle this storm. We're going to make it. And he says, you got to understand, when God built you, he knew the storm that was coming at your life. He built you to get through this storm. Amen. So we're going to talk about that today. How do we build? What do we build? Right? Just going to lay some groundwork. Y'all all right? Matthew 7. This is, man, one of my favorite, absolute favorite passages of Scripture here. We're going to start. I've been talking for months about we're going to start a series on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm doing pretty good. I'm 10 minutes in. I have not gotten out from behind my music stand, Alex. I haven't got out from behind my music stand, bro. Not one time yet. I'm going like this back and forth, man. I'm right. Matthew 7, 24. Y'all there? It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, and say it with me, church, acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it what? Did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. So this is, guys, the last thing Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. What we're going to do is lay some groundwork, and then next Sunday we're going to back up to the beginning, which is Matthew 5. So the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 5 starts off with the Beatitudes. I would encourage you guys to go read through the Beatitudes this week. Pray through them, read through them, because that's where we'll be next Sunday. So what I see here is Jesus, I believe, obviously we could take this and say that Jesus is talking about the entirety of Scripture, right? But I don't think that's what he's talking about. Because he's talking specifically about a foundation, right? Oh, this, you, if you do what I've told you, you're going to be like a wise man, build your house on a rock, right? So he's not talking about the house here, he's talking about the foundation. The house is something different. You understand what I'm saying? So he's talking specifically about Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Sermon on the Mount. If you take what I'm teaching you in these three chapters here, there weren't chapters when he wrote it, but you know what I'm saying, right? If you take this sermon and everything I told you in this sermon and you act on them or do them, these things are going to be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. It's the rock. The Sermon on the Mount is the rock that we can build our house on. And no matter what storm comes against it, my house is going to stand up. Is that right? Right? So we're going to look at a few promises here. There's some promises in this section we got to tear up a little bit. Excuse me, I've got some frog in my throat or something. Number one, promise number one, and most importantly, if I build my house right, on the right foundation, no matter what storm hits me, my house will stand. I'm back to Dr. Tony Evans. We were at an Iron Sharpens Iron thing up in Bloomfield years ago, a long time. And he says, the problem with most men is that they want a skyscraper life on a chicken coop foundation. I was like, man, that's so funny. Right? He goes on to say, because if you ever see somebody building a building, this is how I heard him recently. My impression's not that good. I thought it was pretty good. It's not. But he says, if you ever watch them building a big skyscraper, you know how high they're going to go by how deep they go in the ground first. So the only way that a building is real big and stays up is because there's a really big hole in the ground that's holding that building up. All right. You see a huge tree. Well, whatever you see above ground, most trees will see it's like at least twice as large underground. The root system is twice the size of the tree that we see above ground. The roots is what keeps that tree alive when things are not going well. Is that right? So, guys, a house in the Bible can represent many, many things, but it can represent your personal life, right? Just me. It can represent my family. Can represent my friendships, can represent my career, can represent my ministry, can represent my financial portfolio. Can I get amen, right? I mean, guys, we could be looking at some tough financial times in our country, in America. Can I get amen? But if my hope is not in the stock market, look, I got some money in the stock market, but it's like, because I'm being a good steward. Can I get amen? I got some retirement savings because I'm being a good steward. But you know what? If the market crashes tomorrow, I'm not going to be like, what am I going to do? Because my Bible says, David, that's preached on it last week. I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. So if all my retirement goes away tomorrow, guess what? God's going to take care of me anyway. He's going to tell me, go live by the river and I'll send you some ravens, bring you cheeseburgers every day. I'll eat cheeseburgers every day. It's pretty good. Right? See, guys, Jesus is talking about life here. How many of us want to build a life that will last and endure? Of course we do. Come on. I mean, it's just like, I love, again, with Charlie's word, could you imagine if we came to folks that don't know Jesus, particularly with this season that we've got coming? I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. We got a tough season coming, y'all. And people have built their lives on all kinds of things that the rug is going to be pulled out from under them. Their life's going to come crashing down. Things that they have trusted in are going to disintegrate under their feet. And maybe those of us that know Jesus, that really know Jesus, instead of talking, well, you should have done something, and talking about sinning and all this stuff, maybe we should say, man, do you want to build your life better this time? You know how many people think being a Christian is like, oh, it's all this list of stuff I can't do? Oh my goodness, is that so dumb. If you're really a Christian, all it is stuff I don't want to do anymore. You don't got to tell me you can't do that. I don't even want to do it. My goodness. We're 20 years married in just a few weeks, man. It's funny, my wife said to me the other day, she's like, how did you turn out so good? I said, I got saved. That was a mess back in the day, man. I got saved. I said, Lord, blank slate, whatever you want to do. Fix me up. Amen. Number two. We say if my house falls when the storm hits, according to Jesus, there's only one reason that it did. I did not take the responsibility of making sure I laid the foundation right. Jesus didn't promise it wouldn't hurt. He didn't promise it wouldn't be scary. He didn't promise you wouldn't have to paint your house once in a while or fix a broken window or two. He promised that it would stand up. Can I get an amen? Right? Nothing wrong. You've been married long enough. Nothing wrong with having a little bit of marital counseling once in a while. Right? Come on, folks are crazy. I mean, just live. You put two people in the same room for long enough, they're going to kill each other. That's just how it is, man. Right? But the thing doesn't come crashing down. You just need to like, let's paint the front door or something. You know what I mean? Like, let's just fix it up. We got to put a new roof on the thing or something, right? It's not going to come crashing down. This is what Jesus promises. Think about this, y'all. If I do what Jesus says just in this sermon, the promise is my house will stand. If I choose not to do it, the promise is my house is going to fall. Now, come on. Could you imagine just telling somebody, look, if you do this, you're guaranteed to make it. Forget we tell them it's in the Bible, right? Just do this and guaranteed you're going to make it. And if you don't do this, guaranteed you won't. Guaranteed. Who in their right mind would choose the option of, like, I'm not going to make it? No one in their right mind would say, like, well, yeah, let me choose that one. Oh, my life's going to come crashing down around me. Yeah, let's do that. Sounds great. Nobody would do that. Maybe if we adjusted how we're pitching it a little bit, we'd be drawing some more people in. Can I get amen? Right. Guys, think about this. There's not a demon in hell that can destroy your life. I'm glad I got one amen. The devil himself can't do it. He does not have the power or authority if you're a child of God. But say, but I can destroy my life. I can do it. Right? I love Pastor Jim Kakuza. We're going to get him back up here, hopefully in the fall. The first time I saw Pastor Jim preach in this church, he gets up here. If you guys haven't met Jim yet, you're going to love Jim. He's this loud Italian guy, man. He's fiery. He gets up and he says, I don't need the devil to destroy my life. I know how to do it all by myself. I can get to hell without the devil. I'll give you instructions. I'll give you directions. I know how to get there. He goes, I don't need the devil. I can make a mess all by myself. So as a believer, right, we say yes to Jesus. Now he's like, okay, now you need to start doing this. And we're like, no. I'm going to do whatever I want. And he's like, oh boy, here we go. He's like, call the construction crew. Go to that guy's house and just park around the corner because he's going to need it. Right? Look, church, I can destroy my life because I have the power to do it. Right? What, you know, Pastor, what are you saying? Just think about this. Just two scriptures. I'm not even going to reference where they are. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death. If you're not a believer, you got no life in your tongue. If you are a believer, now you have creative power in your mouth. What comes out is going to produce life or it's going to produce death. I have power to build my life. I have power to tear it down. Can I get amen? Second one, just think about this. After being saved, Paul says it like this, God will not be mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that he will also reap. If you sow to the Spirit of God, you will reap from the Spirit of your life. If you sow to your flesh, from the flesh, you reap corruption. Whose choice is it? I got saved. Now, what am I planting? What am I building? What? It's all me. Can I get amen? If you're a believer, someone's decided to follow Jesus, then you have responsibility. Everybody say that with me. Isn't that such a fun word? Responsibility to work out your salvation. Your responsibility to examine your life, make sure that you're walking with Jesus, to walk humbly, to spend time in the scriptures, to pray, to seek counsel and guidance. To seek counsel and guidance. To seek counsel and guidance. No, my record's not skipping. I said it 3 times in a row. Look, guys, I'm just going to tell you straight up, like Pastor Al, my pastor who's here, if you're new, that's my pastor sitting back there, the young man in the blue mask. He didn't chase me around. I pursued him. I pursued him. Sometimes I could tell, I call him and he'd answer the phone, I could tell by the tone of his voice, he's like, man, this guy's calling me again, for real. Hey, brother, what's going on? Right? I drove that guy crazy. Because you know what? I saw something that I wanted. I saw a man that stood. I saw a man that made it in a place that everybody said, you're not going to make it. You cannot build a church like that here. There's a man that did it no matter what everybody said. People burned him. People betrayed him. People spit in his face. People stabbed him in the back. And he says, I am going to stand and I'm going to keep going because this is what God said. I said, I want that. I want that. You know who else is not going to chase you around? Is Jesus. Holy Ghost, he's going to whisper to your heart every once in a while. He's going to see how you respond. You know, no matter how far you run away from him, he's always right there. He's still whispering, right? As soon as you turn, he's right there, right? It's like if you wander away for 9 years, there's not like, I got to trudge back for 9 years. Nah, come on, man. As soon as I turn back, he's like, all right, come on, let's pick it up. You're like, well, yeah, but look what I just did. He says, I don't know what you just did because you repented and it's gone. Back to square one, not in the Bible, everybody. It's back to where I went off the path. And that can happen that fast. Can I get amen? Right? Number three. Storms are coming. I got a yup. Look, what we see here in this passage of scripture is two groups of people, right? Two groups of people. Anytime when I read stories like this or parables, you get like the parable of the 10 virgins, right? Five have well, 5 don't. To me, he's talking about humanity. He's talking about the humans, right? When you see, the talents, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, he's talking about, you know, this church, believers, right? It's not like one guy's got five talents. He's giving us a picture of the body of Christ. You see what I'm saying? So think about this. There's two groups of people, which is representative of everyone who hears these words of mine. That's all it is. To everyone who hears these words of mine and either does them or doesn't do them. So you got two groups of folks here. Two groups of folks are going to the same church. They're hearing the same message. They experience the same things from Jesus. They're all, can I get amen, right? It's one group of folks. They're receiving it. They're saying, yeah, man, this is good stuff. I'm going to do this. I'm going to listen to what he's saying. They get up and they walk out, and they're like, yes, this is it. One group is like, oh, my goodness, is he done preaching yet? For crying out loud. You just have time in this, man. Second service last Sunday, Madeline was here. She's like, Dad, could you hear my stomach growling? I was like, yeah, we got on the recording. We stuck a mic right in it. So, can I get amen, right? Come on, we've all been in church where we're just like, oh, I hate this message. Sometimes I preach messages that I'm preaching them, and I'm like, man, I hate this message. It's convicting me. See, we've got two groups of folks, right? Those who act or literally do is the Greek word, do what Jesus said, and those who do not act or literally don't do what Jesus says. It's that simple, right? Another Star Wars reference. This is like the second of the original ones, like they're all jacked up. If you don't know Star Wars, it's going to confuse you. But like Luke is being trained by Yoda, and he's trying to learn how to use the Force. You know this scene? You guys know this one? And he's trying to, his X-Wing is like, what's an X-Wing? Watch Star Wars, man. Come on. He crashes X-Wing in the swamp, and Yoda tells him to use the Force to, like, you know, get his spaceship out of the swamp. And he's doing, and he's, oh, you know, he's trying, and then he can't, I just can't do it. Luke is such a whiner in that movie, isn't he? I just want to smack him every time I watch that movie. Dude, you're a Jedi, man. Suck it up. Right? I just can't do it. And then, anyway, this one particular line, he says, well, I'll try. And Yoda says, no try. Do or don't do. There is no try. Right? Oh, Pastor, I'll try. No! There is no try. It's do or don't do. Come on, man. There's no gray area. Either I'm going to do it, or I'm not going to do it. Pastor, I can't. No, you won't. Because can't means it's impossible, which is, we know that that's not true. Nothing's impossible for God. And if God's living in me, that means there's nothing impossible for me. So it's really a choice that I won't do it. I choose not to do it. Right? Well, it's hard. Duh. If it wasn't hard, we wouldn't need Jesus, man, all right? If it wasn't hard, we need the Holy Ghost. If it was easy, everybody be Christian, man. Come on, right? It's worth it. It's not easy. It's worth it, right? Because as we sang that song and prayed over some of you, right, it's a blessing on my family and my children and my children's children and my children's children's children, right? If I press in and I seek God, it will run down into my generations. Can I get amen? Right? Same storm is coming at both groups of people. Just because you built your house right doesn't mean the storms won't come. It means that your house isn't going to fall apart every time something hits you sideways. Even think about like tornadoes, right? Hurricanes is they're scary, but you know it's coming, right? But a tornado can just hit you out of nowhere. But you know what? If you're smart, you're going to build, if you live out there, I don't know why you live out there. I wouldn't live out there. I can shovel snow. You know what I mean? Can't shovel a tornado, man. Dude, the first time a tornado came within 3 miles of my house, I'd be like, we're out. Deuces, bro. Right? No way, man. Seriously. But come on, you would build your house saying, I know I live here. Or like in New England, just in case y'all know, anybody's going to buy a house in New England, make sure that they did ice and water shield under the shingles. Because if you don't have that, the water, the heat makes the snow melt and it runs down to the edge of the roof and freezes, and then it backs water up under the shingles and makes your roof leak. Right? So, but you don't put ice and water shield on your house in Florida because there ain't no ice down there. Can I get amen? Right? My point is you should build your house in like preparation for what goes on where you live. Can I get amen? So if we're building our house in the spirit, we should be building our house understanding the atmosphere that we live in. Understanding that storms are going to come, thieves are going to try to break in and steal. Right? It's just how it is. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. I don't know. I didn't write it. Can I get amen? We need to understand this. There's been a subtle, sometimes not so subtle teaching in the body of Christ that when you say yes to Jesus, your life is immediately going to turn into rainbows and butterflies, and you can eat 26 slices of pizza every day and not put on any weight. Cha-ching. Praise God. It hasn't worked yet for me. I'm still praying about that part. Guys, think about this. Sometimes storms come at us simply because we live in a fallen world. Come on. If you talk to somebody about Jesus that doesn't know the Lord and they say, well, if God's so good, why this? Come on, how many times have we heard that? You know what I say to people? Dude, I know why. You want me to tell you? Yeah, man, why? It's your fault. What? Have you sinned? Well, yeah. Well, that's why we live in a fallen world, because of sin. Because Adam and Eve sinned, disobeyed the one thing God told them not to do. Think about this. I'm just going to lay it out here, y'all. All right. Adam and Eve were naked, probably pretty good looking because God made them. And he said, you can do whatever you want except eat from this one tree. They lived probably in like Hawaii or something without volcanoes. I mean, it's paradise, man. God made this garden paradise. They live in the paradise. They can do whatever they want. They're naked. They're not ashamed of it. Come on, if we were all naked, we'd be like, ah, right? We have those dreams when we're growing up, like going to school, and all of a sudden you realize you're in your underwear in school in a dream. I'm the only one that had those dreams when I was growing up. Oh, no. Right? But they're naked and not ashamed. When they eat from the wrong tree, the first thing they experience is shame. We're naked. Y'all been naked. Y'all been naked for a long time. I don't know. I think it's 70 years. I don't know. I just felt like the Lord told me that one time. 70 years they are naked for. Do you see what I'm saying? They ate from the wrong tree. They agreed with sin. Boom. Chaos is released on the earth. Their job is to go in there and take chaos down. Right? The devil's cast to the earth, dark with, you know, without form and void. God says, Adam and Eve down there, straighten it up. They make the wrong choice. They agree with darkness, and that's why we're living on this earth. Can I get amen? We're living in this place. Sometimes storms come, church, because we live in a fallen world. Bad people do bad things. Can I get amen? Right? Wars, sickness, hatred, racism, discrimination, divorce, wayward children, financial ruin, mental health issues, confusion, sexual perversion. I'm going to just throw it out there. Might as well get folks angry while we're doing it. Sexual perversion, homosexuality. Goodness gracious, we saw something the other day. The city of Massachusetts, town of Massachusetts, they just passed an ordinance where now a guy can marry a guy and a girl, and it's legal. Not polygamy. That's a guy has more than one woman. Why on earth you'd want to do that? I'm perfectly blessed with one. All the blessings I can handle. This is a dude who hits from both sides of the plate, wants to marry one of, I'm sorry, just going to throw it out there, all right? What on earth is going on? Sexual perversion was released on the earth because of the fall of Adam and Eve. God has a clearly designed plan for men and women to be in a heterosexual, monogamous, that's the right word, right? Together for life, relationship, and have babies, man. That's how it's supposed to work. Can I get amen? All this stuff we're dealing with, church, I'm telling you, the sexual perversion is going to get worse, barring a revival. We see nothing yet. Buckle up. I hope I'm wrong. Buckle up. Amen. Maybe the storm's from the enemy. Maybe you're getting attacked at work or at school. Maybe someone's stolen something from you. I don't know. I've never had that. That's not true. I was going to say I've never came into my house and it's all jacked up because somebody stole something. But we got ripped off on the internet a long time ago for $12,000. 12 grand. Anybody got 12 grand on them? That's a lot of money. Can I get amen? You know what we did? I cried. And then I said, okay, Lord, you said in your word that you'll restore. When the thief is caught, seven times what was stolen from me is coming back. Church, God has blessed us. We're doing fine. Can I get amen? Maybe somebody's going to steal something from you. Maybe you have a spouse or a child or a loved one who doesn't know Jesus and is running their life into the ground. Maybe they're trying to run yours into the ground. Can I get amen? Maybe you need to stand up and rebuke the storm. Maybe you need to fight with everyone, with everything you've got, on your knees, through prayer and praise. Maybe you need to call some brothers and sisters to get a team together that will fight with you. Maybe you need to take a nap in the back of the boat because we're going to the other side. Jesus took a ride in a boat that was built for the storm too. Taking a nap in the back while there's water coming in it. Come on, y'all. Do you see what I'm saying? Some of what we've got to understand is like, you know, I don't rage all day. Do your best. What do you, that's all you got? I'm not getting freaked out about this. Not going to do it. Is that all right? Almost done. 1 Peter chapter 1, just going to quick jump here. Then we've got like 35 more minutes and we're totally good. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I'm just kidding, like 20 minutes. Blessed, look at this, we're talking about storms, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Everybody say living hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance. This is, so he's talking about us, right? We're obtaining an inheritance which is imperishable. So it's not money. Undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in, somebody say it out loud, in heaven for you. Look at verse 5. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So guys, let me pause just for a moment here. Verse 7, I said this a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, whatever it was. Somebody on Facebook got mad at me, but it's the truth. What Peter's telling us here is that as we go through these trials, as we go through these storms that are coming at us, right, they're intended, whether they're from the devil or they're from the Lord, it doesn't matter. Storms are intended to reveal to us where our faith is. If a storm hits me and I fall down, all that means is I've built on sand. That's all that means. I'm not going to hell for that. Amen. Somebody should have given me amen. You guys should be excited about that. I don't know, Pastor, what are you saying? It's not a final damnation. It's just he's going like, y'all didn't build that right. Right? I mean, if you're going to build a house, you have a home inspector comes in and checks what you're building as you go through the process, right? Is the foundation all right? Cool. You can next step. You frame it out. He comes and checks all the framing. Framing's good. Cool. Put the roof on the place. Cool. Electrical, he checks it all the way to make sure that your house isn't going to burn down. Right? This is what we should be doing. Storms come to say, a storm comes, is your foundation laid right? Did it stand up? A storm's going to come, is the thing framed out right? Did you build it right? right? And Peter promises here, church, look what he says, that your faith will result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We teach in church that this praise, glory, and honor is going to Jesus. Church, when he comes back, he's already glorified. We just talked about it in worship. He ain't coming back like 6-1 looking like Fabio, man. He's coming back in glory. All right, he's coming back. He is light. There is fire shooting out of his eyes, man. He doesn't need any more glory at that point. He's already got it. The glory is coming to us who have been revealed that our faith is strong, purified in the fire, purified by the storm. He says, here's your reward, praise and glory and honor for my bride. For my bride. I said this a few months ago when I was preaching at home about this, right? I got married 20 years ago. I kissed her and the pronounced you husband and wife. We're walking out. Nobody's looking at me. They're looking at the bride. They're like, this dude, penguin suit, who cares about him? Look at this girl, though. The robes of white, right? She endured all the trials of our engagement. Let's all stand up. Done right here. I told you guys I was done. Amen. Just going to release something over you guys in Jesus' name. So, guys, I want to show you something really quick in Peter that we'll come back to Matthew 7 and tie it up just in like 2 minutes. So in verse 6, Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice. But in what? Right? In this you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while. Right? So he's saying, the rest of verse 6 is not we're rejoicing. We got to back up. We're rejoicing in the fact that there's an inheritance waiting for us in heaven. It's stored up, imperishable, undefiled. Nothing can touch it. Thieves can't break into steal. That's what Jesus says. Don't store up treasures here. Store them up there. Thieves can't get them. Moths can't get them. Rust can't get them. Up there is what really matters, right? Put stuff up there. Keep investing into the kingdom, right? And he says, because you are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You are protected by God. And then the next thing he says, even though you're going to be distressed by various trials, you're like, wait a second. Is God protecting me or is he not protecting me? I mean, if he's almighty God, why can't he just stop every single bad thing from coming at me? He could, because he's God. But he also knows exactly what I need to get where he wants me to go, which includes a little bit of fire. It includes a little bit of storm once in a while. Sometimes, y'all, God will send you a storm to show you that what you built is actually good. Stuff that would have taken you out 2 years ago, that storm comes back around again, and you get through it, and you're like, oh, you see it come, oh, here comes that storm, I remember. I had to rebuild the whole back half of my house 2 years ago, I remember. And you get scared, and you start shaking, but the storm comes, and your house shakes a little bit. It all goes away, and you're like, boy, that thing's standing up now. It didn't fall down this time around because I dug a little bit, and I built it right this time. Amen. Please hear what I'm saying. I hope, again, man, I've said this like 5 times. I hope I'm wrong, and I'll rejoice if I am, but I'm seeing a storm coming. Church, I'm seeing a battle that's headed our way. We may very well be headed into a time of persecution and hardship that I never thought would happen to us in America, right? Not afraid of it. Not going to go hide somewhere and hope it passes over. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to reexamine my life and make sure my foundation's right. Because believer, unbeliever, saint or sinner, saved or condemned, a storm is coming. I tell you what, my house is going to stand, and this house is going to stand. This house is going to stand. And say it with me, this house is going to stand. Come on, put your hand on your heart right now. And say, my house is going to stand. My house is going to stand. This house is going to stand. Guys, I think it was 10 years ago on our 20th anniversary of this church. Pastor Carmel was here, and he prophesied on that that Sunday morning service that the Lord is going to raise River Valley up as a beacon of hope. I'm telling you, we're hitting a season where people are going to need hope. We have hope in us. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for just a great, sweet time of worship. Thank you for encouraging us, Lord God. Thank you for how good you've been and how good you're going to be. No matter what happens, no matter what our government does, no matter what all the chaos, the anarchists are doing out there. I can't even remember that word. What are the anarchists are doing? Whatever the economy does, Lord God, we declare that we will stand. Father, that you will set us apart. You've called a remnant unto yourself, Father God. You will provide, you will protect, you will guide us, God. We will, the fire's not going to burn us up. It's going to purify us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, have an awesome, awesome afternoon. Thank you so much. Blessings on you. And we will see you guys Wednesday night. We'll be here for prayer, 7:30. We're here. I'll have a Zoom set up as well. But guys, have a great week. Happy 4th of July weekend, and blessings on you. Amen.